Warren Tucker, good morning. It's always a pleasure to speak to you.
Good morning, Vasile. How are you doing?
I am well. I have very, very little to complain about, so I won't even bother. I trust you all too. Warren, talk to me about the BMW 325 IS. Why we have, as South Africans, loved this vehicle over the years, and why after such a long time it is still so sought after. Give us a bit of background and history.
Okay, so essentially this vehicle, it's very iconic shape, the BMW, the E30 specifically. This car was born in the 80s. Mm. So this car was built and replaced the E21 at the time, and it was produced from 1982 to about 1994, and there were various versions that were built, and this is worldwide, obviously.
Sure.
In South Africa, we, as South Africans, we've got large open spaces, there's big distances between towns, and South Africans like their big powered vehicles. They like their big engined cars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you just have to look at the likes of the 30S that was produced, that was a Ford. You had the Ford XR8 also. And another thing that South Africans like is South Africans enjoy their motor racing.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, we were actually on the world stage. We had Kyalami Racetrack, which was a racetrack which was on the world stage. We had a lot of racing that used to happen here. We had Formula One that happened in South Africa in the 80s. And with that, we had a whole lot of touring car championships that happened in South Africa.
Sure.
And the touring cars was a lot of people's very long memories will remember that. It was sponsored by Stanic. Stanic used to sponsor that. It was a Stanic Group N championship, and racing used to happen at Kyalami and various other tracks in South Africa. And it was a Sunday afternoon thing or Saturday afternoon.
Yes,
you'd see the
yes.
racing, and people would, you know, the stadiums would be full. It was quite a lot of fun. And South Africans enjoy this. Another thing that South Africans are is we are fiercely patriotic about what it is that we have built. We are very proud of what it is that we put together. And you mustn't forget, at the time, a lot of vehicles were being produced in South Africa for the world market. And this was all the way through up until the end of the Becky era.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started changing after that. But a lot of vehicles were being built in South Africa and exported for the world market. So in comes the racing at the track. And at the time, in 1989, there was a 325i box BM that was being built in South Africa.
Yeah.
And BMW decided they're going to go racing with this specific vehicle.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, at the time in the group in production, there was a little pokey chihuahua there. And I know the Opel guys aren't going to love this, but there was a cadet. There was an Opel cadet, and it was ruling the roost at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was giving the BMWs quite a hard time in the Class A category. And BMW had to come up with an answer. Now, in the rest of the world, BMW was building the E30 M3, which is the most successful touring car ever built.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that car was built left-hand drive
and
was not coming to South Africa. So the engineers in South Africa had to come up with another plan. Now, couple this with the rules of the touring or the touring racing rules, which is you've got to build so many vehicles for the road in order to go racing on the track. So those are your homologation rules.
Gotcha,
BMW then decided, okay, well, in 1990, they took the 325i box shape BMW, gave it the European E30 M3 suspension, gave it the E30 M3 brakes. It had a body kit already, which was a motorsport body kit, and they gave it an Alpina settled 2.7-liter engine, which at the time produced a very healthy 145 kilowatt, and they went racing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, they go racing, and what does Opel decide to do? Opel decides, okay, well, I see you've raised one card, I'll raise another. And they go back to the track, and they introduce the Opel Kadett 16-valve Superboss,
mm-hmm.
which, again, cult classic South African vehicle.
Sure.
It was built and engineered here in South Africa. And the vehicle, again, was South Africa's version of the overseas version of that specific cadet. And it came with a Cosworth head, a limited slip differential gearbox. They rattled a bit, but they were damn quick, and they are still quick by today's standards as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And in 1991, BMW was like, okay, look, let's go back to the drawing board, and let's go back. And they came out with the 325 IS Evo 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the Evo 2, they bumped the power up, and that vehicle was producing 155 kilowatts. At the time, that car cost 100,000 rand brand new. Actually, 110,000 rand brand new.
Sure.
And they were sold.
Sure.
And that specific vehicle won the Group M Class A title in 1993. And it won a staggering 20 of the 24 races that it was entered into. So that was BMW's answer to the Opel Superbus. This was a very highly contested season between the two vehicles. And remember, a lot of development comes out of racing.
Absolutely.
And that's where the vehicle came from. Fast forward that, and South Africa has a very large street racing scene. It has a drag racing scene. You've just got to look around the country. They have BMW versus Opel or Toyota versus VW. They have race days, and people come out in droves and come in, put their cars against each other and come out racing. And you've just got to look at the magazines that we've got. I mean, they sell out. South Africa has a really, really strong car culture.
Yeah, yeah.
And this E30 BMW has managed to solidify itself in the hearts of every single young person out there. Every single kid, it's an identifiable car. You can ask a little kid, what car do they want to drive? And they'll tell you, I want a box BM. I want a Kusheshe. Okay? And the vehicle's iconic because it's the look. It's got this 80s boxy look.
Yeah.
The guys go spinning with these cars. They drift these cars. Yes.
So, Warren, what I'm wondering about is, and curious about is, for those that, you know, that want to use this car for those purposes exactly, which is the racing, the spinning, and essentially using it to, as you know, as a form of showmanship and sport. Talk to me about what is happening with these cars from a maintenance perspective, from a servicing, and even just, fixing them. Who is the go-to specialist? Are these guys going into the dealership still and saying, soup it up this way, do this? Who's working on these vehicles and keeping them in prime condition? Because how many years later, I can't imagine that it's still easy.
Well, the thing is, remember that a lot of what's happened in the repair side or the aftermarket industries, a lot of the guys that used to work for BMW have gone out over the years and have started their own businesses where they service vehicles out of Motorplan.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the guys that currently own these vehicles were doing their apprenticeships when the E30s were around.
Sure.
So they are aftermarket tuners. There's a company in Bears Valley called TuneTech. The owner there is a guy by the name of Sean Singh. He used to work for BMW or for JSN when they were still at the bottom of Johannesburg town.
Sure.
He is one of the go-to guys when it comes to the E30s. There's a guy in Vandenberg as well, Rob Green. Again, go-to guy when it comes to the E30s. But the culture or what's happened with this vehicle is, you've got these vehicles standing in garages that are worth upwards right now because, remember, you can't find them anymore. You can't
exactly.
find these examples.
Yeah.
So guys are asking 400, up to 500,000 rand for these vehicles.
That's
and
insane.
The more real or the more original the vehicle is, and when I say not having painted, the car hasn't been resprayed, the car has come out exactly the way it left the factory, the more original it is, the higher the calling price of the vehicle. Where the car starts losing its value is where the car has maybe been in an accident and been repaired, parts of the vehicle have been painted. Some people have taken a really nice car that needed, you know, just a little TLC, taken it apart, resprayed it and put it back together, and they've devalued the car by doing that.
Sure. Sure, sure, sure. Well, here's one. If I want to find out and see who's had the 325 IS the longest, call in with your 325 IS stories, 011-883-0702. I'll tell you this. Growing up, my dad had one. He was one of few, actually the only one for a long time when we were living in Daveyton, who drove one of these. I think it was like Dolphin Grey. It was absolutely gorgeous. And I'll tell you what, back in the day, the traffic cops didn't mind stopping and asking you how you could afford as a black man.
No.
Why you were driving this car and where you got the money for it. It's like a small matter of being in corporate, buddy. But yeah, I want to hear from you. Who's, you know, I want to compare with amongst our listeners who's had their 325 IS the longest. And another story, Warren, is I used to always laugh when you'd be going through the classifiers, for instance, and just looking through the papers, looking for a car, looking at cars, and they'd always ended with lady driver, however many years. And I've got a story of a lady driver, 325 IS, my childhood friend drove one in varsity, and that, it was a red one, by the way, absolutely gorgeous, in pristine condition, driven by her mom, who then, you know, looked after it very, very well. It was always kept in the garage, pretty much very, very, very low mileage. And wherever she went when she drove this car in varsity, she would, guys would be hooting at her, trying to, you know, make her stop and open the window. Yeah, she couldn't budge without somebody always trying to convince her to sell her Gusheshe to them. So it can't be easy being one of the last ones who still have it pretty much in its original state. So, Warren, when you are on the lookout for one and you're desperately trying to find that unicorn, it feels like, where are car enthusiasts generally looking?
Well, just on your point that you made now, because these cars have become so scarce, they are on the hijack list. These cars, and we must just, because I know these guys listening here, I must just differentiate this. So the 325 IS was the two-door version of the E30. A lot of people confuse the IS with the four-door version, which also came out, T25i. The difference has been the one came out and it was purpose-built as a race vehicle, came with a limited slip differential, 2.7-liter engine. The other one came out as your 325i without all of those things on it. Yes, they did come out 2.7, but they weren't tuned as well by Alpina. They didn't have the same sort of cam. So that's the differences there. But they are both still referred to as Gusheshe.
Yeah.
The when looking for these vehicles, you're going to be looking and talking to people that are in the owner's clubs. These cars are hidden. They're mostly in garages. Guys aren't a part of them. The ones that you do see online, you know, that are there. Some of them are quite rotten. I have been looking for one of these for a couple of individuals. And you always will page through the classifieds or look at Auto Trader and stuff when they do pop up. There are vehicles out there, but you've got to dig. And where you've got to go is check with the owners clubs, check with guys in that circle, because those are where the nice, pristine vehicles are sitting. But be aware that they are going to have a price tag on them. It's not a bank financeable vehicle. So you are going to pay cash for the vehicle. It's an old car. The other thing is you know, the guys that own these cars say, as long as you can see it, it's yours. The minute you've turned your back and walked away, somebody might borrow it and never return it. That's how sought after they are, and that's how scarce the parts have become.
Sure.
Remember, this vehicle was built for a long time. As far as vehicles produced, there were 2.4 million of these produced worldwide and sold in different countries. So in South Africa, we have another unicorn here, which a lot of our vehicles have been exported out of the country. We produced a 333i. And again, this was the BMW engineers in South Africa. They essentially, in 1985, took the 3.3-liter out of a 733i BMW. The 733i BMW is a huge, massive ship. And they've shoehorned that motor into an E30 body. And in true South African style, you got the car with an option like this. The option was you either had air conditioning or you had power steering. But there wasn't enough space for both.
For both.
Okay? So most people opted for the air conditioning side of things. And these vehicles have become seriously, seriously sought after. They've been exported out of South Africa. BMW only produced between 1985 in 1987, they only produced 204 of these cars.
So Warren, I'm looking at the WhatsApps right now. I've got a picture from Fanny in Meadowlands saying she sent us a picture of her brother's or of the 333i and saying the sound that these guys make. Oh my goodness, Auswe is what Fanny's saying. Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous, beautiful.
You can't beat a straight six BMW engine. You just can't. The launch picture, I remember, was on the cover of the car magazine. It was a red C25i coming around Chapman's Peak, a red C25iS, and that was the launch picture for the Evo 2. That was in 1991, 1992. That was there. And those vehicles have a very iconic noise to them. You can hear one of these cars coming. I mean, if you're standing and listening, they've got a very specific engine tone, a very specific sound, and that's BMW straight six motor. That's their engine. They own that. They produced it. They do it the best.
We've got a call from Jabu in Lyndhurst. Good morning, Jabu. Thanks so much for calling in today.
Good morning. You guys are taking us down memory lane.
Tell us. Share your memories.
A memory of this car, it was in 1995 after we won the African Nations Cup. In Alex, the Alex, there used to be celebrations, and these cars will be spinning around. It was just amazing. It takes you back the amazing engineering technology that goes into those cars. And up to this day, if somebody drives that car in those streets of Alex, people scream because of. I mean, today we've got Rupa. BMW started that long time ago. We know the sound. We just go crazy. I mean, I was a very young boy. I think I was 18 or so in the 90s. But still today, I still cherish that car.
Nice one. Thanks so much, Jabu. Really, really appreciate you sharing your memories. Can you relate to that, Warren?
Yeah, no, again, you know, you're talking about a culture there. So there's two guys that stand out. And again, back in the 90s, there used to be illegal drag racing that used to happen at Nasrec on a Sunday night. And the guys used to race down the main road there past the Shell garage. And guys would come out and show their vehicles off. And this was obviously before the West Bank racetrack was done. And guys were on the street doing their thing. And you'd see these cars come out, and white ones, red ones, especially the red. There's a thing that they say, Uroya Rumoyer. Our redder, the better, right? And with that comes from that P25IS. The cars would be clean. It's Sunday night. It's shining. Tomorrow's work. But the guys are coming out to do their thing. And there's a gentleman now, Magesh, who used to spin all these vehicles. But back then, there were other guys that were doing it. And those guys essentially would come with these vehicles to the track, to the street, and they would spin these cars. And they would toss the car from one side of the road to the other and drive the crowds wild. There used to be Industria on a Thursday night was the spinning drag. So the guys would come over there and show off and spin their vehicles. And people would make a circle, and this vehicle would be spinning inside the circle, you know. Guys would come and show off their skills. You just need to look on YouTube. There's tons of videos of guys in South Africa doing this. And, you know, that is that car culture that this specific vehicle created. You couldn't do that with a rear-wheel drive Toyota Corolla. You had to go and fiddle with that car to do that. And the BM could do that effortlessly. It would look like butter sliding in a hot pan. And people would just go crazy watching all of this stuff.
Listen to you getting all poetic. That's what motoring in cars does to you. Oh, absolutely beautiful. And I guess, yeah, it's quite interesting. I love the sort of long look back that you've given us with regards to South Africa, our motoring culture, and our enthusiasm for vehicles, right? It's not at all a matter of affordability and what you can access, but it's definitely a community feeling as well as very much aspirational as well. You wonder what happened to all those guys with those skills, those mad skills that you've talked about, that you've spoken about, rather, and what use they've been able to put them to since then.
No, definitely. I mean, you know, the fastest production car that was built in the 90s was built by a gentleman that studied at Fitz, Gordon Murray. He was an engineer that studied at Wits. He built and designed the McLaren F1. Mm. The McLaren F1 ruled the roost up until the end of the 90s, well into the 21st century, and the Bugatti Veyron basically dethroned this vehicle. There were a few vehicles in between, but that vehicle was designed by a South African. He studied here at Wits in South Africa. We've got a huge history of engineers in South Africa. Our engineering at the time was at a very high standard. There's a lot of piping engineers, draftsmen, and the sad thing is a lot of these people are sitting at home at the moment because there's no work. There's no work for them. Civil engineers, they're sitting at home. They've got no work. And it's strange, though, because a lot of the time South Africa always wants to look to other countries to hire their engineers to do the stuff.
Sure.
Whereas those countries come here and get our guys to do stuff for them because they are the best. We've got the deepest shafts in the world. They are here. They're here in South Africa. They're not anywhere else. Our engineers do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And just on that note, Warren, as I thank you for a lovely look back at the 325IS, got a picture here sent through. Don't have a name, but it says my mom, who's 79, has this 325i, which turned 30 years old this past June. Still totally original, a car that purrs, and there it is in the morning light in the driveway, looking absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, there you have it. A proud, proud history and legacy that we've just reminded us of. Much appreciated, Warren Tucker.
It's a pleasure.
All right, our resident car expert and enthusiast.